All right, it's confession time, folks. Show of hands, who was here on Christmas Day? All right. The reason that's important is because on Christmas Day last year, I promised you the second half of the story. Remember, I told you half a story and said, come back at Easter. So clearly, you've spent the last number of months anxious and what is the rest of that story and how does it happen and I have to come to church, so well done. For those of you that weren't here on Christmas Day, don't fret. We're not going to start a story halfway through and leave everyone completely lost. Let me bring you up to speed. On the 23rd of June, 2018, the Wild Boars Football Club, they were a soccer team in Thailand, 12 boys aged between 11 and 16, and their 25-year-old coach entered the Tham Luang Cave in northern Thailand. They went into the cave 4 kilometres, became stuck, and the water level started to rise as it began to rain outside. 8 days later, the boys, from when the boys were first lost, John Volathan and Rick Stanton popped up in an air pocket of the cave and reported, "We smelt the children before we saw or heard them." The boys and their coach were found alive. All right, we're all up to speed. Christmas Day was about God finding us, lost in the caves and the graves that we can get lost in. Good Friday, several days ago, was about Jesus' rescue operation to come and save us. And Easter Sunday, today, we get to walk out of the cave. 17 days those boys spent trapped underground as this rescue mission unfolded and the entire world held its breath. Apparently the boys, thinking that once they were rescued and went home, that they would have to ride their bikes home. And so that's how they decided the order in which they would be rescued. So the boy who lived furthest away would have to ride his bike the furthest, was the first to be rescued out of the cave. The second boy who lived the second furthest away was second in line, and so on. What they didn't realize was at the mouth of the cave, the entire world waited for them to walk out alive. And what a glorious moment it was when that final child was carried unconscious out of the grave. It was like the world let out this collective sigh of relief and the party started. You know, heaven held its collective breath for that glorious moment when God raised Jesus from the dead and rolled away the stone, and Jesus walked out of the grave and the party started. Easter Day is the ultimate exchange between heaven and earth, the absolute triumph of life over death, where life himself just shrugged off death and walked free. The eternal life that heaven held was now available to every single person. Those who were destined for the grave now had this alternate option of life and hope and love and peace and a future. Not because of anything they did, not because of anything we did, not because of anything you can possibly do. Simply because of God's love for you. Of Easter Day, Ron Canole, who was a worship leader, said, "I know the grave is empty because I know my heart is full." And Jesus accomplished something so gloriously impossible, something so utterly unbelievable, so your heart can be filled with the love of God and your life can be full of the presence of God. You see, in Jesus' day, burial happened very different to the way burial happens today. Graves would be hewn from rock faces, these giant rooms that would have this stone shelf where the body would be laid, and a huge stone that would be rolled down. Almost impossible to move this stone. That was where they laid Jesus' body. And the women who were some of the disciples of Jesus, they'd walked with Jesus through his whole earthly ministry. They'd gone to the grave to pay their final respects, to anoint his body as one last farewell, to say, "Our Lord did not deserve this, but we just honor him with everything we have." And they knew as they walked up to the stone, to the tomb, they knew they would have a problem with the stone. They were unsure about how it would be removed and how they would get in. But maybe they thought some help will be around, others will be doing this, and together they can move the stone. You see, Jesus died on the Friday, and the Saturday was the Sabbath, and you couldn't work or do anything on the Sabbath. And so this was Sunday morning. It was actually around 10 a.m. It was probably right now, a couple of thousand years ago. Expecting to find Jesus' body lying in linen, lifeless, on the rock shelf where it had been laid in this dark cave that was actually a grave. In their mind, there was not even a possibility that Jesus would be alive. They went to anoint a dead body. Now, impossibility was also something that Dr. Richard Harris was dealing with. He was the person that was ultimately responsible for the boys getting out of the Thai cave. Harris was an anesthetist. And Dale, who is one of them, is part of our church, and I've known Dale for years, and I should get his words right, but anesthetist. Got it. It's written here. It's just a lot of extra letters in quite a simple word. He had about as much faith in the boys getting rescued from the cave as the women did in finding a risen Lord. When Rick Stanton, one of the British divers who had found the boys, he called Harris and he was talking to Harris and briefing him on what was ahead before Harris arrived in Thailand. And he says, I can tell, Richard, you're getting excited about this challenge. What you need to know is these boys are almost certainly going to die. Later on, Harris said, I truly believed it wouldn't work. What we did, I truly believed it wouldn't work. Why? Because cave diving is one of the most difficult recreations known to man. It's one of the most dangerous things you can do. And somehow, 12 untrained boys who couldn't swim, who spoke a different language to their rescuers, who were starving and anxious and needed to successfully navigate 4 kilometres underwater with scuba gear on that they'd never used before, having no visibility in unpredictable water currents. Impossible, right? Absolutely impossible. When you think about metaphors for death, that Thai cave has to be so similar to the grave that the women encountered and expected to find Jesus in. But they didn't find what they expected, the women. They turned up to this grave and they didn't find what they expected. They in fact found 2 angels, 2 heavenly beings that were dressed in heaven's glory and feeling a little bit cantankerous because they ask a silly question. They asked this question. They said, why do you look for the living among the dead? What a silly question. It's silly because the women, if they weren't utterly terrified of bumping into 2 angels, they would have said, it's not a silly question, Jesus is dead. That's who we came to anoint. He's dead. The chances of Jesus being alive were so infinitesimally small, they were hardly worth thinking about. It was similar to trying to find a world-class anaesthetist whose pastime was cave diving, who had 30 years of experience, who held world records in diving at record depths, who was featured in National Geographic as a world-class diver, who had been awarded the Australasian Technical Diver of the Year in 2017, and who'd spent countless hours with friends practicing to rescue people from caves in case some of his friends ever got stranded there. What are the chances that a person like this would even exist? So slim, you go, that's impossible. But Richard Harris was there. As Harris said, it was 1 in a million chance that my hobby would actually be useful. The chances that anyone in the entire world would qualify exactly as needed for this chance was unbelievable. But isn't that the same with Jesus? Jesus was the only one that's qualified to rescue us. Not one in a million, the only one, the Son of God, full of love, free of sin, who is driven by such a desperation to save us from our sin that he went head to head with the ultimate adversary of humanity, death itself, to restore us to right relationship with God, which is what the angel says. The angel says, well, he's not here. He's risen. He's risen. Death lost. His death, your death, death itself, death lost. Jesus won. He is risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. When the word of the rescue in Thailand got out, when the boys were safe and they were all rescued, it was plastered over every newsletter, every newspaper, every news site, all social media platforms with the following headlines. Mission Impossible, how the world united to save the Thai soccer team. The miracle of Tam Luang Cave, a race against time and water. A journey from despair to joy. From the darkness to light, the story of the Thai cave rescue. Harris said that he stayed in Thailand for another 3 days to party. He goes, it was the wildest party we've ever had because of what took place was impossible. It was unbelievable. It was this mix of pure joy and utter exhaustion. What seemed as impossible, he says, was an extraordinary success. The angels, whom the women found, they offer to the entire world this first century headline. It's all we need. It conveys everything. It captured it all. He is not here. Jesus is risen. You won't find Jesus amongst the dead. He's left this grave behind forever. Death lost its grip on the Savior of the world. And then the reality of this must have crashed into the lives of these women. This changes everything. It changes everything. This news, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again, it had become true. You see, they'd forgotten to trust in what Jesus said. But their lack of faith didn't thwart Jesus' triumph. Their lack of faith did not determine Jesus' defeat. Jesus conquered death for you and invites you to embrace it so overwhelmingly that your life is transformed by the presence of Jesus, by Jesus living in your life. You see, you don't need faith in Jesus for him to die for you. Jesus died for you so you could have faith in him. And when you put your faith into Jesus, everything changes, everything shifts. You see, Jesus has a purpose and a grace and a love and a care and a guidance and a new way of thinking and a joy and a power and miracles and friendship and a future for you. He has that for you. Faith in Jesus, it opens up a whole world of this divine glory that Jesus says, share this with me. It's already reserved. It's already waiting for you. He lives. And because of that, we can live too. When Harris arrived in Thailand the very first time, his time was immediately consumed. He spent 12 hours of every day either in the cave or underwater, connected to the cave with the boys, assessing them. He had numerous meetings with authority. He got 2 hours of sleep over those 3 nights. The only way to get the boys out, they discovered, was to sedate them with the perfect amount of a drug called ketamine. They didn't want the boys to become too relaxed. They couldn't be too relaxed, but they needed to be asleep. And so then when that was to take place, then they knew that the kids would start to salivate. And so they had to have another drug called atropine to stop the children blocking up the oxygen mask that was going to be put on them. Then once asleep, they were strapped to a stretcher. They were escorted underwater through one of the most treacherous cave systems in the world to their freedom. Now, before the rescue was complete, everyone in the know said, It's the best option we've got, and it's utterly impossible. Harris later said, after the ordeal was over, he said, if the dose had been just the smallest bit inaccurate for each of these different sized boys, or any of the boys had a negative reaction to the medicine, he said, I would not be the hero. It would have been a devastating loss to lose just one. But despite it being seemingly impossible, the other option they had was to leave the boys there to die. This group of strangers was not willing to do that for these boys they'd never met. Instead, they put their lives on the line. They had 3 days. It's interesting what can be accomplished in 3 days. They had 3 days available before the rain was going to move in and start raining again and make any chance utterly impossible. 3 days to escape death. Something exists in the human spirit that enables us to trade ourselves and our very lives for a stranger. To lay down our lives for someone we've never met in the hope that they might live because of love that exists in the human spirit. So how much more can we trust what Jesus did for us? Because he put that thing in the human spirit. When he created us, Jesus offered himself to us, he put that in us, that we would have the capacity to even comprehend laying down our lives for another. And we are not strangers to God. God loves you more than you could possibly ever understand or fathom or wrap your mind around. Even if you think God's never met me, God knows you. He made you. He loves you. See, creating a way where there was no way, Jesus created a way where there was no way to give you a life that you do not deserve, which you get to enjoy with him forever. So my encouragement is, don't let Easter slip away without turning to Jesus. For some of you, it might be the 1,000th or the 10,000th time. You're so devoted to Christ, you know him so well, that it's just such a joy and a pleasure to respond to Christ on this special day and say thank you. But for some of you, it might be the very first time. The first time that you've ever thought, I can talk to Jesus. I can engage. Jesus wants to talk with me. You see, the cross shows and proves Jesus' love for you. The empty grave is how Jesus shares that love. He says, come follow me out of your grave. Come follow me out of your tomb. Come follow me out of your cave. I have life for you and life to the full. And he wants to meet with you. And he wants to right now. So we're going to do that. We're going to pray. Lord, we are so thankful. We need an extraordinary, unbelievable story of what happened in Thailand just to begin to fathom what you did for us. But we are so thankful that on this Easter day, Lord, we might be refreshed by your love again. And Lord, there are folk here this morning who the thought of turning to you has maybe never occurred to them. That maybe it was a long time ago in Sunday school and they're a kid and they had a connection with you or an understanding of you, but that has faded over time. Maybe, Lord, for some, there is just a deep pain and hurt, a desperation and a frustration and an anger, Lord, that you want to meet them with. But, Lord, you have gathered us all here to meet with us. And so by your Holy Spirit, meet with us now. Say what you need to say to us. Show us what you need to show us. Change us how you need to change us, Lord. I'm just going to sit in this moment just for another minute or two. Holy Spirit, just minister the hearts here. And I just sense there are some of you holding back from God, and God wants you just to trust. To lower those defenses or let go of that control. And there's at least somebody here with a deep hurt that's been pushed down for so long, and Jesus just wants to meet you gently in that space and bring healing to you. And there's someone here this morning that's just not sure which direction to take, just feel really lost, a bit like being lost in a cave system. Jesus wants to lead you. Lord, we are so grateful for what you did for us. Because it wasn't just an event that happened 2,000 years ago. It is the approach that you take to us every single moment of every day. That you are risen, that death is finished, and that we may share in your victory now and forevermore. Amen. Let's stand as we worship God with our final song.
To Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for.